Thank you, Juanita. Do we have anyone doing junior worship this morning? All right, Josh, you're ready to go with them. Those in junior worship may leave. If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I neglected to mention earlier that Gary Rutherford will be having knee surgery Thursday. So we just need to keep Gary in our prayers as he prepares for this. And I tell you what, the knee surgery has become epidemic in this church. But Gary is going to be doing that Thursday, so just keep him in your prayers. We're dealing with the armor of God. Today we just want to wrap it all up with prayer. We've come to the close of the armor of God and what's involved in it. And I hope you take whatever's been said there in these last few lessons and that you use it and that it might help you in your life as a Christian. But the last piece of armor that we're talking about today, I guess, really isn't armor at all. It really is technically not armor, but it is absolutely necessary in our battle as a Christian to fight the devil. One of the principles of warfare is to always maintain a line of communication between the troops and the commander. And through communication, our commander provides all the necessary information that we need. You know, whatever it might be, and how to use it the best, whether it be offensively or defensively. And through the lines of communication, we can rely upon the commander for guidance and for reinforcements, for help, for moral boost, or even to get that little bit of needed rest, whatever it might be. And prayer is the Christian soldier's line of communications with our commander-in-chief. And no Christian will survive the devil's assaults and will never gain any kind of ground unless they are prayer warriors. The reason so many Christians stumble, that so many Christians get frustrated, so many Christians just panic, so many Christians get discouraged, so many Christians lack boldness and that inward peace, is because they fail to maintain communications with headquarters. They fail to pray. Receiving what the Lord wants to supply us with demands that we keep in communications with Him. You know, if we want wisdom, if we want encouragement, peace, comfort, you go through a whole list of things there. It means keeping in communications with our commander-in-chief. And since this is true, Scripture tells us we always ought to pray in Luke 18:1. It tells us to continue earnestly in prayer, Colossians 4:2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, Romans 12:12. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And in today's text, read with me there from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse number 18, which says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. A basic principle is that we keep in contact, that we keep the line of communications open. But you know what? The devil wants every way possible to destroy that line of communications. When our soldiers go into battle and they are up against the enemy, one of the first things they'll do before they make their onslaught is to send in missiles that will cause all kinds of disruption. And hopefully one of those things is that they destroy the lines of communications, that they will not be able to communicate with their commander-in-chief and know what to do. And when our soldiers come in, they will be able to defeat them because they're lost. They have no idea what to do. Most of us have a lot of time to pray that we don't realize we have. And We don't even consider it. And, you know, many times we say, well, I don't have time to get down on my knees. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do all these things. I've got a job to take care of. I've got children to take care of. I don't have that kind of time. But we have more time than we realize we have. And, you know, we don't always have to verbalize our prayer thoughts. We don't always have to close our eyes. We don't have to just stop whatever we're doing. And we you know, you talk to yourself. Try talking to the Lord instead. We've got time, and we need to keep those lines of communication open. And now, some of you out there are saying, Dave, you know, I know you're right that we need to keep those lines open. And my life would probably be more blessed if I did keep those lines open. But Dave, I just run out of things to talk about. What am I going to talk about if I talk all day long to the Lord? Oh, my friend, you've got a lot of things to talk about. Things that perhaps you never even thought about. You know, first of all, just start counting your blessings. Name them one by one, as the song says, and thank the Lord for them as they come along. You know, pray to Him about His power. Thank Him for His wisdom, His love, His kindness, His patience, His mercy, His goodness. Tell Him about your circumstances and ask Him for the wisdom, how to deal with it properly. Ask Him to bring, you know, good things into your life and good things into your neighbor's life that help both of you to worship Him and to bring Him honor and glory. Pray for the Violet Ridge Church of Christ, that the elders might continue to lead this church in the way that is right in God's sight. Pray for your minister. Pray for your youth minister. Oh, I could just go on with a whole list of things. There are many things that you can be praying about. And listen, you can share anything with God. You can share anything with God, and He will not be shocked. He will not be shocked, and He will not be bored, and He will not be uninterested in what you've got to say to Him. You know, He loves you, and He wants you to talk with Him about whatever is going on in your life. Talk to Him about whatever is on your mind. There's nothing too trivial. There's nothing too private. There is nothing too big. There is nothing too small. For our God wants to hear from you. And the more you include Him in your daily life, the more real your relationship with Him will become. But, You cannot build a close relationship with Jesus Christ without communication, without prayer. So I have 8 things that I want us to just very quickly look at this morning. And I know you look at those these outlines and you say they're getting longer and longer every week. Man, preacher, you got to slow. You can't pray. I promise you, not as long as it looks. There this morning, we're mostly going to read Scripture because Scripture speaks a whole lot better than I do. We have 8 things. First of all, we must abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Jesus says in John 15 and verse 7, if you abide in Me and My word abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, what is it to abide in Jesus? What is that? Well, we go over to the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and Paul tells us in verses 26 and 27, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You are in Christ when you become a Christian. You to have your prayers answered, you must abide in Christ. You must be a Christian. And as a Christian, you are a priest, meaning that you have direct access unto God. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. In other words, he is waiting to hear from you. Well, secondly, ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever you ask for, ask in the name of Jesus Christ. John, the 14th chapter and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A mother and father were trying to teach the little boy how to pray, and the dad said, pray and not offer your prayer in the name of Jesus Christ is like trying to send a letter without a stamp on it. It will never reach its intended destination. Nothing gets to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our high priest, and he offers up our prayers to the Father on our behalf. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and verse 18 says, through him we both have access by one Spirit, by one Spirit to the Father. Going to the book of Hebrews, and there in the 4th chapter in verses 14 through 16, we read these words. The author says there, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And then he says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. So we come through the name of Jesus Christ. Then number three, we need to strive to obey God's word. Proverbs 28 and verse 9 tells us, one who turns his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. If you don't want to do the will of God, then don't talk to God. When we are willing to submit to the will of Christ and that is revealed to us through the Scriptures, then God is willing to listen to us. And He wants to hear from us. He expects our prayers. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12 tells us, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous.
Excuse me.
And his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. 1 John, the 3rd chapter and verse 22 tells us, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We strive to obey God. And then number four, we need to be humble. You know, we must go to the throne of grace in boldness, but not with a pride that says, because of who I am, God, you have to answer my prayer. No, we don't go with that kind of boldness. That's not what he's talking about. Isaiah 66 in verses 1 and 2 says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you have built me? And where is the place of my rest? For those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But listen to what he says now. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of contrite spirit, and one and who trembles at my word. Again, from the book of Isaiah, verse 57 and verse 15, it says, for those, thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. God is looking for humble people. Over in the Gospel of Luke, we read there from the chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, verses that are very familiar to each and every one of us. It says he spoke this parable of some who trust in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, number five, we need to ask in faith. Ask in faith. We must believe that God hears us and that he will respond to our prayers. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We go over to the book of James, and there in the first chapter in verses 6 through 8 says, let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is tossed by the wind. For let not a man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And then we move on to the fifth chapter of James, where it tells us this. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. When you pray, do you truly believe God will answer your prayers? It seems that many times we're surprised when our prayers do get answered. And when they do get answered, many times we attribute an answer to our prayers to our own efforts or to some favorable coincidence. We should expect an answer and anticipate it. And when it comes, be quick. Oh, be so quick to acknowledge and to praise our God for answering our prayer. Matthew 7. Verses 7 through 11, Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find, and it will be opened to you. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Pray believing. Number 6, don't concentrate on selfish desires. Selfish requests. James, the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse says, ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. We should not ask the Lord for things that will not promote our good or the good of our neighbor. You know, our prayers must not always be about self. Yes, God wants us to pray about ourselves. And there are things that he wants to answer about ourselves in our prayers. But whatever we ask, whatever he answers, will be for our good, to his honor, to his glory, to his praise. And the good that we pray for one another will bring about good and honor unto God. And that's what we should look for. You know, prayer is not something that we use to persuade a reluctant God to do our bidding for us. but rather prayer. The purpose of prayer is to align our will with His will and to be a partnership with Him and ask Him to accomplish His will upon this earth. Well, number seven leads us to, that just leads us on to the seventh key there. Ask according to God's will. And understand this, that God answers our prayers 100% of the time. God answers our prayers. I've heard people say, well, God didn't answer my prayer. Yes, He did. Yes, He did. He may not have answered it the way you wanted it answered. It may be that He just said no. And it may be He said, not right now. And it may be that He's just saying, maybe. Maybe. You see, but God answers our prayers. When Jesus taught His disciples how to pray there in Matthew 6, He said, you probably like this. He says, Your kingdom come. Your will be done. So, what does it mean? What does that mean for us? It means that we don't ask anything that we know is contrary to the will of God. If I decide I want to rob a bank, I don't ask God to help me to rob that bank because I know God has already told me it's wrong to steal. We don't ask God to go against His own will, His own law. I cannot make that kind of request. But then there are times that we just don't know. We just don't really know what God's specific plan or purpose is at this moment in time. We don't know what it is God's purpose and plan is for somebody around us at this particular time. But we pray that God's will be done. God's will be done. And we want Him to know that we truly believe that whatever He wants, that's what we want. And if there comes a conflict between my will and God's will, I must pray, Thy will be done. Over in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 20 and 21, Paul says, Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. When I look around this building this morning, I see that God has been mighty generous, hasn't He? God has been mighty generous to each and every one of us. There's not a one of us here this morning that has to just barely get along. We have a roof, we have clothing, we have food. He sustains us exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. How does He do it? I don't know. He's God. And aren't you glad He is? He's God. And He is in full control. And we ask in accordance with His will. Over in that little gospel book of 1 John, that little letter in the back of our Bibles, 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15. The Apostle John wrote, Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we seek, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. And that brings me to number 8. Be persistent in your request. Nowhere in Scripture do I read that the Lord becomes annoyed by us repeatedly asking our request of Him. You see, there's a place, though, that Jesus did condemn vain repetition. There in Matthew, the 6th chapter and verse 7. He did condemn vain repetition. But vain repetition is when we say the exact same words just over and over and over, like a computer spitting it out, and never think about what we're saying or what it means. And some say that, you know, that saying the same exact thing over and over and over is always just vain repetition. But I don't mean to demean anyone's education or their background or anything like that at all, but some of the most humble prayers I have ever heard come from godly saints who just didn't know any other way to express themselves. And it wasn't that it wasn't thought out. It wasn't that it wasn't anything that was vain with them. But that's the only way they knew to say what was on their heart. That's not vain repetition. There are two parables in the Gospel of Luke that deal with this idea of vain repetition. I just want to look at one of them. Luke 11 and verse 5-8 says, "Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door has now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is in his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." It is appropriate to continue to ask God for what we desire. That is, whatever it is that is in accordance with his will. And we do have examples of that even in Scripture. Jesus went 3 times asking God to remove that cup. And God would not remove that suffering for him. Paul prayed 3 times that God would remove that thorn in his flesh, whatever it was. God would not remove that thorn. But with Jesus, he wouldn't remove the suffering, but he did send an angel to strengthen him. With Paul, he would not remove the thorn, but he would give him grace that would be sufficient for him to endure. You see, God wants us to ask him. God wants us to continue seeking his will. As Christians, we are on the front line of battle every day of our life. Our enemy is relentless. He will never give up. He wants to destroy you. And without maintaining a line of communication to our commander-in-chief, we will fail. No matter how complete your armor is, no matter how skilled you are in the science of war, no matter how courageous you might be, without prayer, you will be defeated. This morning, you've got to wrap it all up with prayer. You've got to put on that armor. And then pray and pray and pray. But you're praying to God through Jesus Christ. Do you belong to Jesus Christ this morning? Have you made him your Lord and Savior? Are you living for Him every day? Have you been baptized into Him for the forgiveness of sin? Is Jesus Christ really your commander in chief this morning? Are you keeping the lines open between you and He? That's why we've come to this time of decision this morning, that you might examine your own life, that you might make Jesus Christ Lord. If you have a decision to make, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing? Softly and tenderly, Jesus.